our culture has lost our bearing, that as long as we have our own little harebrained ideas about what's right or wrong, we're going to be off course. Man, if we just get back to the Word, then we have that moral compass once again.
On today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter says the direction we get from God's Word is the way to go.
When your life is, you know, all we like sheep have gone astray mode, and you're off course in your life, don't you love that the way you get back on is you go back to the Word. Keep the Word of God. That's where you get back on track.
It doesn't matter what we're facing, what answers we're seeking, or what needs we currently have. The Bible has a solution for it all. Turning to Psalm 119, we see what we can reap when we make the Word of God our priority. On today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter has titled his message, Being a Biblical Being, and encourages us to see how God truly is working things together for good.
Turn to Psalm 119, and I want to give you 12 reasons, 12 things that when you live a biblical life, have a biblical worldview, here's what the Bible tells you you get out of that deal. Number one, jot it down, happiness. And it starts in Psalm 119, verse 1. It says there, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. The word blessed, and verse 2 also, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. That's the word for word there, testimonies. So you got the law, verse 1, testimonies, verse 2. And what happens to those people? Blessed and bless, or blessed and blessed. What's that? Well, the word blessed is just an old word that means happy. Happy are the people who are walking in the Word, the law of the Lord, who keep his testimonies. Being a biblical person, the Bible promises of itself that you will live a happy life if you are in the Word. Happiness, number one. Number two, what happens to the person that's biblical, that lives by the Word of God? Number two, cleansing. There's a washing, a cleansing. Let's jump forward to a verse. I'll do this from time to time. Look at verse 140. There in 140, speaking of cleansing that the Word does, thy Word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. I love that the Word of God is pure, very pure. There's a purity that comes with the reading of, the living out, the biblical worldview. I love that. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Operative words for word. How shall I come and cleanse? By taking heed to thy word. Verse 10, thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word. And what is it? Man, there's a young man cleansing his way by the word. And what should he do? Hide the word in his heart that he might not sin against the Lord. The word of God, it's got a cleansing effect. The Bible calls the word of God water. It's typified by the sword, but it's also typified by water. The water of the word, like in Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus Christ loves his church so much that he washes it in the water of the word. And that's something that you should never forget that the Word of God does. There's a cleansing effect of the water. And so here in Psalm 119, happiness and cleansing. These are the first two things that we see here about the Word of God. Number three, counsel. Psalm 119, verse 24. There it says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The word for word here is testimonies. And what does the testimony of God do? It gives you counsel. There's counsel right here in the Word of God. There's safety in Scripture and counsel. So you got happiness, cleansing, counsel. Number four, strength. Look at Psalm 119, verse 28. It says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. You know, you show me a person who's solid in reading the word daily, I'll show you a person that's strong. Number five, freedom. Freedom, Psalm 119, verse 45. It says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. The word precepts is the word for word there. What happens to the person that seeks the word, the precepts of the Lord? You walk at liberty, freedom there. The Hebrew is at large. You get to go where you want to go because you're grounded, rooted in the word of God. I love that. The freedom that comes from being in the word. Make sure you let the word be your perimeter around your life. Number six, hope. There's a couple verses here. Look at Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Look at Psalm 119. Let's go forward to verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Where does true hope come from? Us just trying to stir up the hope that we should have, or, man, I really hope something happens. No, we have a living hope. We have a true hope. And when you talk about hope from the Bible, it's not just hoping something happens. It's absolute expectation of coming good. That's the hope we have in God's word. If you're lacking hope, the remedy is to remember the word, Psalm 119, verse 49, and also put your hope in his word. Because the word of God transcends your circumstances and your situation. And you can say, Brett, my situation's hopeless. Yeah, but if you read the word of God, if you're a person of the word who loves the Lord, man, he's working all these things together for good in your life. Even the bad things that seem hopeless, you can put your confidence, even though there's no evidence of why you should be hopeful. But because of God's word, you can be hopeful and know that it's not just an empty hope. Man, I love that about the hope that comes from the word. That's number, what is that, six? Number seven, comfort. Does anybody needed to be comforted? That comes from the word of God. Two verses, Psalm 119, verse 50, will be the first one we'll look at there. Psalm 119, verse 15. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The word quicken means to be made alive. Maybe if you're like, man, I'm dead, and you're lacking comfort because you're thinking, man, I'm dead. There's a living hope that we have that comes from God who's alive. And because he rose from the grave, we have the resurrection power in our lives. And we get to have that hope and comfort that comes from the word of God. So it's Psalm 119:50, but also look at verse 52. 52, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. How can you comfort yourself when you feel comfortless? Remembering the word of God, the judgments, that's the word for word there. Remembering the stories of God delivering his people. And as you remember that, you find great comfort there. By the way, one of the names of the Holy Spirit given to us by Jesus himself in John 14 and John 16 is the Comforter. And one of the things that the Comforter will do, the Bible says, is he will remind you of his word. See, this is how I love how the Bible just kind of, the deal gets sealed where God says, I'll send my Holy Spirit to remind you of the word that will be then your comforter. And that's just the truth of the way it works. If you need comfort, then go to God's word. So that's number seven, comfort. Number eight, direction. Does anybody need direction, guidance, direction? Probably the number one question pastors get in some circles is, what is God's will for my life? How can I know what to do with my life? That's a big one I get all the time. And I often will refer them to these verses. Check out Psalm 119, verse 67. Psalm 119, 67, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Man, when your life is, you know, all we like sheep have gone astray mode, and you're off course in your life, don't you love that the way you get back on, according to this in verse 67, is you go back to the word. Keep the word of God. That's where you get back on track when you're off track. And then probably even more famous still, look at verse 105. If you're needing direction in your life, the word provides that. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Man, that's the blessing of the word of God. Direction. It's a, let the word be your compass. Our culture has lost our bearing. We're up and down in every which way. And it's not just the worldling. It's the churches and it's the immorality that we see all around us. And man, if we just get back to the word, then we have that moral compass once again. But as long as we get away from the word and have our own little harebrained ideas about what's right or wrong, we're going to be off course. I love the direction we get from the word. Number 9, relatability. Relatability. Look at Psalm 119, verse 89 through 90. 89 through 90. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Now, this is interesting. You say, "Brett, what does that have to do with relatability?" Well, everything's established. From the beginning to the end, throughout all the generations, his word is established. One of the things that I always kind of marvel at is people that sort of act like the word is outdated. Well, culturally now, we know more than they knew back then. And they start, you know, dismissing the word. And, you know, women, you know, get upset when they see what the Bible says. And, you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where the men are supposed to lead in the church and the women are not to teach or usurp authority over the men. Brett, that's just cultural. That's just Paul's, you know, misogynistic, male chauvinistic tendencies from ancient times. What's interesting about that is, first of all, let me make the disclaimer. I believe that God sees men and women that were equally smart, equally capable. It's not that God said, "Oh, men are way more dialed in, so they're going to be the leaders." It might even be the opposite of that, truthfully. But God did say, "I want the men to lead in the church." So the word tells us that. Well, but that's outdated. We know that women can do just the same things men can do. Here's the problem with the cultural argument on that one. Do you remember the example that Paul gave to young Timothy, the pastor at a church at Ephesus is where he was? And that was a controversial thing in and of itself. Do you remember the rationale he gave biblically? He said, because it was not the man that was deceived in the garden, it was Eve. What does he do? He reaches back thousands of years. See, what's interesting is Paul's argument reaches outside of culture. Do you think it was the same culture in the Garden of Eden as it was in the city of Ephesus at that time? I'd argue culture was very different back then. And it's interesting to me that Paul takes the cultural argument out of that discussion when he just says, yeah, it happened actually in the Garden of Eden that the woman was deceived. And bless her heart, what was she deceived? She wanted to be enlightened. She wanted her eyes to be opened. Like, you almost have to commend her for that. Eve just wanted to be smarter. Would the guy have been tempted by that? I argue no. Satan would have said, "Adam, would you like your eyes to be enlightened and be like God?" No. I think that's funny. How was the man lured into sin? A beautiful woman with food in her hands. Like, I seriously laugh. It's like the Lord has a sense of humor. I'm pretty convinced. And so he makes the men in charge of the church. What? See, the problem is when people try to shift and say it's a cultural argument, and they do that with homosexuality, they do that with all the stuff that, well, we know now this gene or that's trait, or we know that people are different today. And I believe the Bible is timeless. The word of God is timeless. And you'll find that the word of God, and this is where it gets down to the point here, is relatability. Stick with the word of God and you will relate to human need and human nature better than anybody else if you stick to what the word says. Try to be culturally relevant as a church and try to be hip and cool with the world and you'll find yourself way off course. And I found that the churches that try to be hip and cool with the world looks at them and says, "Who in the world are you?" And they are the most unrelatable people. It looks so foreign to the person who's just looking in from the outside. What I love about the word of God is it's just the truth, and you can speak it and it's going to relate to your family, your life questions better than you trying to be relatable. The word relates. Number 10, a couple more. Relationship. Psalm 119, verse 94. We see that we get to have a relationship with God because of his word. Psalm 119, verse 94. "I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts." It's like Valentine's Day. Be mine. The Lord says in his word here, the psalmist, "I am thine." Man, I'm yours. "Save me, for I have sought thy precepts." That's the word. Look at verse 97. "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day long." You see, the psalmist viewed the word of God as the love letter from God. It's a relationship with God, and the Word of God connects us relationally. And that's how we can say, man, I'm yours, Lord, relationally with the Word of God. We need to look at the Word of God as a love letter for relationship. Number 11, wisdom. Psalm 119, verse 99. Look at verse 99. It says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. But look at it, goes on. Psalm 119, 99, look at verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. It's not just reading the word, but keeping them makes you a person walking in wisdom. Look at verse 130. Jump ahead a little bit. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. This is what I really love. One of the things the Bible says from cover to cover, by the way, is he takes the simple, and that's just a nice way of saying the stupid. That's me. The Lord uses the simple things of the world. Remember when, you know, Peter and James and the guys stood before the Sanhedrin and they marveled in Acts chapter 4 that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Jesus is, of course, the living word. That's such a cool thing that, man, look at where it says, you know, that in 130, the entrance of thy words gives light. That's back to that direction thing. But it gives understanding to the simple. Man, the Bible makes simple people smart. That's the idea. The more you become a Bible student, the more smart you'll be about life in general, and wisdom kind of smart as well. And then number 12, peace. Peace. Psalm 119, verse 165. It says there in verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they. Boy, does anybody need to stop being offended in our culture? We are the most offended people in the world, and it's just embarrassing. I'm so offended that you said that. People are going to say stupid stuff. They have for all the centuries and millennia before us. But for some reason, we're this hypersensitive, offended group of people. The Bible teaches that as Christians, we don't have to be offended. We can have a peace that passes understanding, and that comes to those who love thy law, it says here in Psalm 119, 165. While the world is seeking peace through, you know, anger and name-calling and all that, we as Christians can find peace through the Word of God, where nothing will offend. That's what it says. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's the Christian. But on all 12 of these, I want to just make a quick link, because one of the things about the Word of God that I love, and this is where you can miss it if you're not careful, because some people are really into the technical written Word of God, which is great. I love that. But one of the things about all of these blessings, everything you see about the Word of God can be related to the person, Jesus. Like I quoted from John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. Capital W, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There's a connection. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. That's what Jesus would declare. That's who Jesus is. He's the living Word. He's the embodiment. He's the personification of the Word of God. And one of the fun things to do is to study all the benefits of the Word, which the Bible's chock full of those. I could go through hundreds of these. I'm just giving you 12. But the Bible's full of these things the Word does. But what's so fun is you can see the correlation of how that works out through the person of Jesus, the living Word. And I'm going to go through a really fast example of that. Point number one, happiness. Psalm 32, 1 says, blessed is he whose sins are forgiven, or happy is he whose sin is forgiven. Who made forgiveness of sin possible? Jesus, right? Because he died on the cross. And the happy person has their sins forgiven. That comes from Jesus. Cleansing. I said, you know, how shall a young man cleanse his way? The word that he's hid in his heart. Well, check this out. It's what I referred to earlier. Jesus in Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Christ washed the church in the water of the word. Jesus washes you and me. in the water of the word. I love that, that Jesus is cleansing us. Number three, counsel. How does Jesus do this? Well, I love that Jesus is the living word. You know what's interesting to me, and this is something that if you get out your stopwatch and you read when somebody needed counsel, Jesus usually spent like 20 seconds with a person. He didn't clock in, tell me all your problems. No, Jesus knew all their problems. Here's this woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, and she just reaches out and touches Jesus, and she's healed. And Jesus senses it, turns and, you know, talks to her just for a brief minute. But she's not only healed, but she goes away whole because Jesus just spoke a word right into her life. Jesus still does that. Do you know that? You don't have to pay the big bucks necessarily for counseling and all that stuff. Jesus is our counselor. He's the living word. Number four, strength. How does Jesus give us strength? Romans 5:6, when you were without strength, in due time, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus is our strength. Freedom, John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, what? You shall be free indeed. True liberty comes from Jesus, the living word. Number six, hope. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or our joy, the crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Our hope and our joy is the fact that Christ is coming again. And if you need hope, that's one of the greatest bits of hope, is what Jesus is going to do in the future. We have the hope of Christ's return. And that's the hope. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Comfort, real quick, number seven, comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, in all of our tribulation. Man, Jesus is the one who brings comfort. You see how the word, statutes, commandments, judgments, precepts, testimonies, see how they all are kind of summed up in the person of Jesus and how he interacts with us? Number eight, direction. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Direction. Man, Jesus is the source, the living word. So as Christians, what do you do to do all these benefits, to see these start to practically be worked out? Peace, comfort, reconciliation in our relationship with God, happiness, all that stuff. How do we get all that? It's the word, the written word, the living word. And it's all found in Jesus Christ. Man, that's some good stuff. I hope you and I can be lovers of God's word, because that's where it's at. That's where you find everything you need. Amen.
Pastor Brett Metter, drawing the many benefits of the Word of God as promised not only in Psalm 119, but manifested through the work of Christ the Lord. And you're listening to Today's Word. Pastor Brett will continue today's study with the closing word of prayer in just a moment. But first, Today's Word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church, just south of Portland, Oregon, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. He's been teaching at Athey for almost 30 years. We hope you can listen each day for more of his verse-by-verse study. If you missed any portion of this message, you can find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. That's todayswordradio.com. Well, before we go, here again is Pastor Brett Metter to close our study of the Word of God with prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we would be people more and more of your Word. But I also know, Lord, we can easily get distracted. And maybe even after years of being students of the Word, we find ourselves sometimes diminishing the power of what your Word can do. And we start leaning on our own understanding and our own ways and even worldly tactics to find comfort and peace and blessing. But Lord, I pray that we'd be once again reminded of what your word can do, and that we would never sell short the supernatural nature of your word and of our relationship with the living word. Lord, I pray that we'd be a people who have just a new desire to be daily in your word, where there's real power to be found, direction and wisdom, joy and peace and comfort, all of these blessings that come. Lord, help us with that. Bless these, your people, Lord, as we become more and more students of your word, readers of your word, lovers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Brett Metter here on Today's Word. And that's all the time we have. I hope you can be back as we find out how real security happens when we lean on the Lord and his guidance. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.